America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome on into First Take, everybody. Back where we belong, inside the Caesars Superdome. Jeff Nowak and Steve Geller getting you ready for the Saints preseason finale against the Tennessee Titans. Not only great to be back in the dome, Jeff, but hallelujah, the preseason coming to an end today.
Yeah, I missed this place. I forgot how much I like this building.
It's, well, we forgot where we were stationed.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a whole other story. We did walk an extra like quarter mile around the field before we realized we were in the wrong place. But we're here now. That's the important thing. And so are some of the Saints players. Like, I think everyone will be in the building. But I don't expect we see a whole lot of starters on the field, or at least, you know, like Derek Carr, you know, Eric McCoy probably gets the day off. Guys like that, guys that, you know, aren't competing for positions, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, or don't necessarily, you wouldn't qualify them as guys who need every rep they can get, like a Trevor Penning or even a Taliese Fuaga. Like those guys I expect to be out there. But yeah, it's definitely not going to be the Saints we've seen to start the last 2 weeks.
Something I missed, obviously, with the open practice for fans on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, there was one on Tuesday and then there was
Friday,
one on Friday.
I'm sorry, Friday here. Yeah. The days blend together.
It's
but
right.
Didn't get to see, obviously, some of the new amenities available for fans here in the Dome. And it was nice to walk by and kind of look at the new food menu. We saw that 40-yard length of bar that looks mighty impressive.
I could have used a shot. I didn't go out there with measuring tape, but I believe it when they tell me it's 40 yards long because it took a while to walk by that thing.
That's how we got distracted,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we were like, where are we? We just walked by a bar for 5 minutes. It's still going on. But no, there's some really cool stuff that they've added in here. I don't, you know, I'm on the field during the games. I don't get to enjoy
right.
A lot of the stuff that is happening up in the loge level, but it seems like they've done a really good job with this.
Want to give a warning to fans, too, because of the construction that's going on around this area as they try to beautify the surrounding area of the Superdome for the upcoming Super Bowl. You might want to get into the area a little bit earlier, get your parking settled, find out which gate you have to go into.
Yes.
Because it's a lot different. Especially with construction going on. We know what a nightmare it can be.
If you remember one thing getting to the building today, it should be go in the gate they tell you to go in, right? Like, that's like the one thing you need to be 100% on, because otherwise, you know, it's really just a matter of whether you want to waste a lot of time or not. Go in the gate they tell you, because that's going to be a problem if you don't.
This hour, obviously, we're going to start breaking down what we expect to see from the Saints, what we want to see from the Saints this preseason finale. Also, some sound bites of linebacker Anthony Orji. I think he's got a roster spot pretty secure, but we'll get into some of his talk. And also from tight end Foster Moreau, some really eye-opening stuff from him. You can tell that this guy is a team leader and definitely one of the cuts I love. I think it was one of the camera guys asked him, are you the, you know,
accountability enforcer?
Nice. I love the term.
Yeah, except he disagrees. He just thinks he's the loudest. And I think that's probably true. Like, he's the guy that when we're out of practice, you hear someone yelling and you don't know who it is. And then you're like, yeah, that was Foster. Of course it was Foster. Who else would it be? He's the one who you can definitely hear. One time, Carl, there was refs out there one day. And he would refer to Carl Cheffers by his full name, and he'd be like, that's a terrible call, Carl Cheffers. And it was very funny.
Well, just so you know that I know who you are.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know, like, I appreciate it because I didn't know exactly which ref crew was out there until he started yelling out at my full name. And, like, that's just, it's kind of a funny thing because that does happen on the field, right? Like, you know these refs. I don't know if you've been watching the Hard Knocks at all for the Bears.
No, don't have Max. I'm lame.
I've been going through it a little bit, and, like, one of the meetings they had was, like, you know, you have to study the refs that are calling your games. You have to know what they like to call. And like, you, especially as a quarterback, and they were talking to Caleb Williams about this, especially as a quarterback, if you have a terrible relationship with the head umpire, that's going to follow your entire career. You want to get on their good side. And it's just kind of funny to see how these guys interact with the refs, because that is important. Like, that does matter. As much as you'd like to think like a human element doesn't factor in at all, objectively, 1,000% does, and that's true in any sport.
Well, yeah, like we just saw, what was it, the first preseason game or the second one where Bill Vinovich's staff was on hand and was like, that was the first time he had reffed a Saints game since the infamous call.
That was the Cardinals game that was in Arizona. It's the first time he's been on the field, and that's right. Why, like, hey, they overturned that touchdown for Spencer Rattler, and I was like, oh, man, Bill Vinovich, everyone's going to be a huge fan of his now. And no, that's not what's going to happen. But
do you think he ever comes back and does a game in the Dome?
I mean, at some point, no, I don't actually. You'd think like at some point, especially in the playoffs, because they usually pick the highest graded crews. And that's the crazy thing about it is he's annually one of the highest graded umpires, like officials.
Right.
Yet he's enemy number one because of that moment, and for good reason. And it's funny because like he's the, you know, and that one guy is kind of the figurehead of that group. He's not even the one that screwed up when you really look at it. He's just the one who had to announce it to the stadium.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's don't get me started on that day.
Looking into this game, I know we're expecting, I think, the Titans starters to get some run in this game, but not so much from the black and gold side of things.
Yeah. Like we were talking about Derek Carr. I think Nick Underhill reported this. He's usually pretty quick on those. He's not going to go. A handful of starters aren't going to go. So I'd expect Eric McCoy. Cesar Ruiz probably gets the day off. Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, I'd be surprised to see those guys out there. But, you know, Jamal Williams, I think this is going to be a game.
Probably Taysom, too. No
Taysom. Taysom, I wouldn't expect to see. I think this is going to be a game where you highlight the players who are competing for those final roster spots. I think there's about 9, give or take, depending on how you break up the positions, 9 roster spots that could still be won in terms of you don't know exactly who's going to fill them yet. Like there's a handful at wide receiver. Do you go with a guy like Jordan Mims or James Robinson? At linebacker, I would have originally slotted DeMarco Jackson in there, but he had an injury late in the week. So does that open the door for a Khalik Hudson, a Monty Rice, someone like that? Is there any question as to the specialists? I think punter is probably the biggest question, even though people are really excited about Charlie Smith. I think Blake Groupie is that guy. I think that's who you're going to see. And the question is, who starts a quarterback? That's the biggest question, because I had someone come at me and be like, hey, well, they've been alternating, so it's definitely going to be Jay Kaner because that's how they've been doing it. I disagree with that. I think you're past the point where you're worried about equal reps. Whoever starts this game, that's a statement, because you're starting with a handful of ones.
Yeah, right.
And I think that you should be looking at this as an opportunity to get whoever your backup quarterback's going to be live reps with at least a handful of the starters that they would be expected to play with, right? And so if it's Jay Kaner, I look at that as, hey, if you can go out there and have a good performance, you can win that job. If you go out there and don't have a good performance, if you look shaky like he did in the preseason finale last year, then I think you open the door. But either way, I think whoever starts this game – you're giving them the opportunity to either win or lose the job. And then the guy behind him, his job is to go in there and play as well as he can. And if that door is left open, maybe step through it. But I do think that whoever starts this game at quarterback is a statement. It's not just, okay, we're getting these guys equal reps.
And when you mention, like, obviously a quarterback getting some run with the ones, that's basically on the offensive line. There's not really anybody else, I think, that's getting any looks from your first team in this preseason.
It depends what you call the ones, right? Like, obviously, like, you look at, okay, the receivers are Rashid Shaheed and Olave, but there's other receivers who are going to make your roster who would be expected to play, right?
So absolutely, yeah.
Do you see a guy like Cedric Wilson? Are you out there with an A.T. Perry above means? And how they work together is important, too. So I also think you're going to have some first-team offensive linemen.
See, I think AT is one of those guys still fighting for that roster spot along with Bub.
I agree. I think that he's a guy that has not had taken a step forward other than that first preseason game, which he always seems to show up in the game. So that's something to put in his column. But I don't think he's had a particularly strong set of practices. So do you err on the side of a Bub means, of Equanimeous St. Brown, a veteran who maybe you have a little bit more faith in to go out there and block at a high
level.
And
he wasn't around early on, too, for dealing with injury. And it's nice to see him back in the mix.
Yeah, he missed the first preseason game, but he's back now. He had a hamstring issue that kept him out for about a week, week and a half. But he was out there against the 49ers. Didn't really do much, right? So I think that's kind of where you are is, okay, who can make plays, right? Who can force the coaching staff to start to talk about them, both on the offense and the defense? Right? A guy like Isaiah Foskey, I don't think his roster spot's in jeopardy because when you're a second-year player, a second-round pick, I think just going out there and doing the work is enough to keep you around. Hint, hint. Running back, there's a particular player that was a third-round pick from last year who has not been able to do that, and I think that is a separator when you're talking about a higher draft pick. If you're out there working and developing, you're gonna get looked at more sympathetically from a roster perspective than a guy who just hasn't been out there. And we've heard Dennis Allen be pretty vocal about, we just don't know, and I'm talking about Kendre Miller here, we just don't know what he can be expected to do, where he can be expected to impact this offense. Can he pick up the system? Does this work for him? We just don't know, and is that enough to secure your roster spot? That's a question. I would expect him to start on IR, and you go from there.
The worst hamstring injury in the history of hamstring injuries.
I mean, yeah, it's got to be pretty significant, right? He's been out a month. Like, legit, a month. That's like, a long time.
Did they get into team drills or was still individual stuff?
No, they were doing the drills where they, like, run through cones and stuff. And, like, the tackling thing that, like, hits you in the face as you run through it. Like, that sort of stuff. Like, that's what they were doing.
Oh, my leg.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. Especially knowing what we know and the conversations that have been had around, like, hey, we need this guy to do the work, stay healthy, and then have that happen immediately. That's it's a very quick way to gain some frustration and criticism from the coaching staff, I think.
And it was definitely one of those where you can't – Dennis Allen couldn't hide it. It was pretty clear that he's aggravated with the situation.
Yeah, and I mean, should he hide it? Like, that's my question. Like, I saw some of the reaction.
He didn't even
try
to play it off,
like,
though.
Like, why would you kind of throw a young player under the bus for repeated injuries? And I understand that, but it's not really about the injuries. It's about, like – how do you evaluate a player that you haven't seen?
Right. And he's talking about college footage for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, and like, this is something that happened last year, right? Like, he came in injured, which obviously you can't do anything about that. They chose to draft him despite that injury. Then he got hurt early in the season, missed a game or two. Then he got hurt again in week 9 and missed the next, I don't know, 8 weeks, right, with an ankle injury that I think you probably wouldn't have expected to be an 8-week ankle injury. Right, and he came back in week 18, looked good.
Yeah, teased us all in that
looked
finale.
Looked like the player that you were like, I understand why they drafted
right,
him.
Right, going
now.
Into next year, woo, we look but like we got some a guy that can run with Alvin.
It can't just be that. Like, you got to have more, and so we'll see. I don't expect him to be out there today.
No, we haven't seen him at all.
And the question is now, how do you approach that situation, right? Do you, you know, for a guy like Jordan Mims, for example, who's going to be out
IR,
here.
Maybe physically, the PUP list, the physically unable
to perform
list? No,
you won't be on the PUP list. I think... there's rules with the PUP list. I don't want to get into it, but the rule changes for the NFL made this year regarding IR.
Yeah.
One of them is you can designate two players as long as they're on your reserve list prior to the season. You can designate two players to be kind of early IR ads.
Yeah.
So rather than in the past, you would have to say, okay, I don't want to cut Kendre Miller, but I do want to put him on IR. You would have to carry him through cutdowns, and you would have to, you know, say Adam Prentice. It's always the fullback I go to because no one's claiming the fullback, right? So it's like you would say, okay, Adam, we're going to cut you, but don't go anywhere. Like, don't like, you know, try to get your security deposit back. We're going to bring you back, but we have to wait a day before we can put Kendre on IR or whoever it is on IR. Now you have the ability to do that beforehand, which saves you kind of that – that you know, annoying process. I think Dwayne Washington was a player a couple years ago that was like, he got cut and everyone would be like, hey guys, don't overreact to this. He's not going anywhere. And I think the next day he was in the locker room.
Right, exactly.
Like, it was like, I guess he's coming back. You know, so that's going to be a question with a guy like Kendre. And then you look at Nick Saldivari is another guy who's been out with an injury for a long time. Trajan Jeffcoat.
Yeah, you mentioned
could
Saldivari.
Still end up on IR.
That's a name. It's like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about him.
Day two of camp. And then he stuck on the roster all the way up until Friday. And then they waived him on Friday with an injury designation, brought back Andrew Dell,
right,
who is a guy I expect to land on the practice squad and be active early in the season, and Cameron Johnson, I think his name is, kid out
from
of Southern,
right?
Yes, defensive tackle, and so that's going to be those are guys who are going to be out here today. I think kind of trying to earn a practice squad spot. I think when you're added this late in camp, that's got to be the goal for you. You're not making the roster, but you have to show, hey, I have enough juice that you should want to keep me around.
When you talk about, obviously, these roster spots, a job opening that these guys are fighting for right now, how many do you feel are really still open at this point that guys are truly fighting for amongst the offense and defense? Yeah, I guess even special teams when it comes down to it.
Special teams is tough because a lot of the roster spots that you're saying are still being fought for would be guys that you expect to be strong special teams contributors, right? So it's not like, well, there's one special team spot that's there. Like, a guy like Stanley Morgan is really intriguing because, okay, do you have two or three wide receiver spots open? I'd say there are at least two wide receiver spots that you're trying to figure out behind Cedric Wilson, Rashid Shaheed, and Chris Olave.
Right.
But is there a third that's more of a special teams ace? Because if there is, then that's probably Stanley Morgan, who I think would come in as a special teams ace. I think there's one running back position, and it's going to come down to Jordan Mims or James Robinson. Maybe Jacob Cabote, if I'm misreading that, right? Offensive line, I think you have probably one, depending on how many you keep. Do you keep Kyle Hergel, a guy who's a UDFA, who's worked in with the first team, or do you keep Shane Lemieux, a veteran who I would think could play multiple positions, but based on what I saw at center against the 49ers, I'm not feeling great about that right now. So if he's only a backup guard, I'd rather keep the young guy. So that's kind of where you're at. Cornerback, safety, one or two guys are still trying to come out on top of that heap. You know, a guy like Jawan Williams, who just showed up this week, but has a lot of intriguing potential. Can he show that it's like, hey, you guys want to keep me around? I'm 6'3", long arms, and I can make an impact. Yeah, so that's kind of where you are. I would say between 8 and 9 roster spots today could be determined by the performance out there.
One of those guys that's fighting for one of those roster spots, linebacker Anthony Origi. We're going to hear from him when we get back from our break here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Coming back with more First Take right after the break here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Back into Sports Talk. You heard there mentioning the Odyssey app. The great thing about that, too, you could be inside the dome, obviously watching the game, but you could still hear Deuce and Haas, and as well as Jeff Nowak on the Odyssey app.
It'd be like an instant replay for what your eyes are seeing.
There you go.
An audio replay?
An audio replay, yeah.
Yeah.
Of the play that just happened.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough. Yeah, you might get a little confused if you try to do that. But that's what you are into. Go you do you.
We're back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Want to get into some of our prime cuts for the show. The Training Camp Sound Bank, brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American, mentioning linebacker Anfernee Origi, year two for him. Want to say, what's different for the linebacker that's different from last year?
Like I've been saying, my mental, just letting loose. Like I said, I just trust in God, just give all my worries to God. I feel like physically, I don't feel like there are many big physical changes I made from last year to this year. Like, I put on a few pounds, got stronger, got faster. I still worked this offseason, but I think the main focus for me this offseason was letting go mentally, just being able to just go out there and play football instead of being stuck in my own head. Like, if you see last year it was like I put so much pressure on myself. I'm like, dang, I got to make this play. I got to do this. I got to make the team. I got to do that. I got to do this. So then all that pressure just crushed me. So then this year I was like, all right, let me just – all that worry, and just give it to God. Let me give it to God, and then that's what I'm doing. I feel lighter. I feel lighter on my feet. The game's moving slower. I feel like I know my playbook better as well. So I'm just out there, literally just playing ball instead of thinking.
Origi, Jeff, the linebacker out of Vanderbilt, year two for him. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do. I think he'll be in action in this game as well, just because I wouldn't say a spot is locked up, but he's got, I guess, maybe in pencil on there right now, waiting to be put in pen.
Yeah, when I talk about the roster spots that I think are still up for grabs, I look at him as a guy who should be on the roster. Like, I don't think he has a ton left to prove. Obviously, he's a young player who always has something to prove.
Right.
But in terms of making this roster, I think you go into this game feeling like he's made it. You know, guys behind him, I think there's one roster spot that you're trying to figure out. But he's my fourth linebacker right now in a group of five. Now, beyond that, I'm not sure, but I do think his approach is what has kind of set him apart this year relative to last year. He was talking about how, he felt like he was getting worse every week, and his PFF scores were going down, and he didn't want to believe it. But he looked back and I was getting worse because I was kind of getting paralyzed by indecision in a lot of ways. He talked about, a lot of times we talk about young players and we talk about limiting mistakes and making fewer mistakes. And what I asked him about, and what I think is true for a lot of guys, is it's really not about making fewer mistakes. It's about playing freer and knowing that you're going to make mistakes, but understanding why those mistakes were made and not constantly thinking about how you can avoid them. Play fast and fix mistakes as you go. Because you can get paralyzed trying not to make mistakes. Like, if you're trying too hard and you're thinking too much about trying not to make mistakes, you're going to make different mistakes. So you're going to play slow, and that's what was happening to him. DeMario had really strong words for him. He said, he's improved about as much as you can from year one to year two. And, he talked a bit about the mental health coach that he's been working with and the approach that he's been taking. And you can see it on the field. You can see he's always been this kind of supreme athlete. You look at him out there, and he's like, that's an NFL linebacker. Right. So what's been holding him back? And it's not physicality.
Right.
It's what's between the ears. So it sounds like, he feels like he's in a much better place. And you can see that on game day.
Cullen, what Jeff is talking about here, let's jump to cut four, where Origi's talking about, everybody wants to say, I'm going to move on after making a mistake. But it's not so easy when you're on the field. What really clicked for him to be able to do that?
I had a mental performance coach, Jana Genova. I think I said her name right. So we worked throughout this offseason. We had a lot of meetings just working on, like, my limiting beliefs, like trying to mitigate those and focusing on my empowerment beliefs and trying to keep those in the forefront and getting a plan together for this training camp and this throughout the offseason to make sure my mental is right. So she's helped me tremendously. So just keeping my mind right and being able to go, I call it playing out my mind because I'm not thinking. So just going out there, be able to play out my mind and just go play ball.
Torgy playing it out of his mind saying.
you have to appreciate a young player who kind of understands that and can admit that about his own game and seeks some help in terms of getting maximizing that. So
Definitely appreciated how open he was talking about even just mental struggles, not just the physicality of the game.
Yeah, and a lot of times with these UDFAs, you don't know, you know, who's going to stick around, who's going to make an impact. So you don't hear from them as much in their rookie year as you might in year two. And he's a guy they kept around for a reason. Like, you really like his upside. He was a tackling machine at Vanderbilt. He can play all three linebacker spots. So, you know, he's a useful guy, and, you know, he's someone who you could expect to have a plus impact on special teams. So it makes sense. Because that's when you're talking about the fourth and fifth linebacker on a depth chart, a lot of times that's what it comes down to is, okay, can you go down the field and make a tackle on special teams? That's why Andrew Dowell was kept around for those years prior to his ACL injury. That's why they brought him back, right? Because you need guys who you trust to go out there and make a play, especially with this new kickoff rule that I'm still not entirely sure what to expect from. We haven't seen a ton of long
returns yet. I haven't gotten used to it either, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be – I don't know if we've seen kind of the full form of – but I don't think people are necessarily showing some of the more –
Agreed, yeah.
Complex, you know, strategies they'll have.
They're just trying to get through the basics of it, too, in the preseason.
They're just trying to figure out how to block and how to make a tackle and not fumble it, right? You know, get the kicker to put it in the right spot. I'm curious to see how many different types of kickoffs there are, you know, like stuff like that. Because we've seen, I was watching Blake the other day, and he kicked four in a row, and there were four, like, distinct kicks. Like, one was higher, one was a line drive, one was kind of like a wobbler, like a knuckleball in the middle. Because you don't want to kick the guy the same kick every time. You want him to have to catch it at a standstill. Anyway, that's kind of off topic. But, I like the linebacker room a lot. I like the defense a lot. Like, I think you look up and down this defense, and outside of the strong safety spot, I don't have many questions. You know, there's one defensive starter right now that I'm not sure about out of 11. And if you're in that position going into a season, you feel pretty good about where you are. I'm not worried about the pass rush. I'm not worried about the linebackers. I'm not worried about the corners. I'm not worried about the slot corner. I'm not worried about Tyron. I'm not worried about the free safety.
Well,
right?
The only thing I am worried about with the corners is just the health of Marshawn Lattimore and that hip flexor.
Sure, health is a question, and Kool-Aid is also dealing with a knee injury right now, so that might impact how many corners you carry into the regular season.
Why do we have so many? Oh, because of injuries.
Right, because you're not sure. I think the hope is that those guys are ready for week one, so you're not trying to fill those spots with some of these younger guys, Arico Payton, Shamar John Charles, Rajon Wright, Jovan Williams, but – it's been how long since Marshawn's been on the field? How, you know, you'd like to be confident that he's going to be ready to go, but how can you say that right now?
I was going to say, do you recall on how far into camp it was that Marshawn got dinged?
It's like 4 or 5 days in. He did participate. He did get some work in, and he was there for mini camp, so you got part of it then. He doesn't need to learn defense, so that's not something that you're worried about. But it's a long time, and hips are kind of finicky. Like,
and they don't lie.
yeah, you're right.
Getting to back to some of our orgy sound on cut two, you know, something that carried over now from the Sean Payton era is definitely do your job. Here's what Orgy had to say his mantra is.
If I do my job, the plays gonna come to me. That's what Hodges told me, like, during camp, all the plays I make in camp is from doing my job. So games, I try to make it no different. Just go out there and play ball. Just do my job.
You mentioned there, he says Hodges, actually, you know, linebackers coach Michael Hodges, who I think is one of those two that you look on this staff and you could see him ascending up the ranks to maybe D coordinator and even a head coach one day.
Yeah, what I'd like to see for him down the road is, play calling.
Right.
Right. You know, Joe Woods has been calling plays this preseason. He called plays in the defensive plays in the Cardinals game. He called them in the second half against the 49ers, and he'll be calling the plays again today. That's something that DA let Ryan Nielsen do later in his coaching tenure when he was the defensive line coach and assistant defensive coordinator. So, like, that's something that, as you go down the road, like, that's one of the questions. You know, can you call a defense? Can you put an entire defense together? And that's what makes it difficult to ascend from one of those position coaches to a full-fledged defensive coordinator. But, no, I think that he's a guy that everyone in that defensive room loves.
Exactly, right.
And I love him because he's one of the loudest guys, the loudest coaches on the field. And, like, anytime a linebacker makes a nice play, he, like, runs up and, like, just, yeah, go, RG, blah, 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 you know. So I never have to wonder who's making the tackle. He's always telling me, because it can be tough to tell when you're standing on the sideline of a practice and you're like, I think that was that guy. And then I was like, oh, okay, Mike saw it. So that helps me make my own notes from the practice. But no, he's a high energy guy. He's been around for a while. I mean, it's not a coincidence that the Saints have a really good linebacker room every year, and you turn guys like Caden Ellis into big free agents. Even a Zach Bond, while he had a rough first couple of years, I think he really came on.
He got scooped up pretty quick in free agency.
Yeah, and in a scheme that fits his skill set more, I think, you know, he could have an impact. So, no, I think Hodges has done a really good job with these rooms.
And our last cut of Orgy, he talked more about his mindset on this team.
I feel like I'm just relaxing more. Like, if you saw last year, like, I just got worse. Like, people supposed to get better throughout camp. You look at me last year, I just got worse. Like, OTAs, I was flying around doing my thing, training camp at the beginning. Oh, yeah, he's cool. And then it was just downhill. I just kept getting worse because, like, I just kept putting more pressure on myself. So it was just like, and it showed. Like, even my PFF score, whatever that is, someone told me it just kept getting lower and lower and lower. And you watch the film, it's like, man, this guy has no clue what he's doing. So right now I'm just trying to be relaxed out there and just play ball. That's my main focus, not to put too much pressure on it being the last preseason game or anything like that. Just it's not an opportunity to play ball. So I'm going to go out there and do that.
So they do care about what you write about. He mentioned there their PFF score. That's Pro Football Focus, for anyone that doesn't know, an analytics website that kind of breaks down players, games, all the time. And I know their values are often criticized, but overall, yeah, I really appreciate the info that you get from Pro Football Focus.
Well, I mean, most people do not have the time in the week to sit there and watch every single rep from every single player, right? That's what makes those valuable, because they are doing that. That's what they do. And so those scores at least give you a baseline of, like, who they thought had a good game versus who you watched in real time. And sometimes it can show you, like, hey, this guy may have missed one play, and that's what we focused on because that's what they showed on the TV and that's what the replays they showed of this guy missing a tackle. But then if you look at the rest of the game, they were really solid. And that happens with offensive linemen all the time, because you only see when they mess up, at least on the broadcast, right? You could have 99 good reps and then get beat clean on one, and the memory of that game for you will be that one mess up. So, you know, it's I don't think players typically stare at those scores and make a huge deal about them. I wouldn't be surprised if these guys go and check those out occasionally. But DeMario Davis this week was funny, because he was asked if he ever goes back and looks at his, like, pre-draft scouting report, and he was like, it's funny you should ask that. I actually have it saved on my phone. And he pulled it up and started reading off of it. And he actually agreed with it, like, in the end. Like, he used it as kind of motivation for where
he did give the guy credit. Whoever broke this down knows his stuff.
Like, yeah, I don't even know who this guy is, but he was spot on, because I fixed a lot of these things and turned these into strengths, but these were weaknesses at the time. So that kind of analysis can be valuable. But I think if you get too bogged down in it, it can eat you up. So to a certain extent, I think you need to kind of tune it out and just listen to what your coaches are telling you. But to say they're not aware of it at all, that's definitely not true.
We're here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Going to take a break. Be right back. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Where you at? Who dat? You coming to this preseason finale today? Give us a shout here on WWL. We're right back after this. Back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Want to give a shout out to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We heading out to Jimmy and Gretna, who I know is heading to the game today. What you got for us today, Jim?
Look, last year I came to some games and I had to get a hall pass for my wife. Well, today's her birthday. I'm taking her to the game. All right, last year, let me tell you something. I had to wake up at 4 a.m. just to get that hall pass to go to the game without her. Put that flashlight on top of the lawnmower, cut grass all morning in the dark. All right, now, look, the commissioner's coming to the game today with me for her birthday. She's not a big Saints fan, but happy birthday, Leslie. We're going to the game. Look, they're $2 tickets. Steve and Jeff, okay, $2 tickets right now in the secondary market. If you want to bring your whole family, this is the game. Middle of the day, I'm just saying, tickets are dirt cheap. All right, like, $2.
Did you spend more than $2 on your tickets today? I hope so.
No, I actually did because it's her birthday, but I'm saying, you know, for the people who are having economic issues, you guys go check it out for yourself. You want to go? There's still a lot
of
tickets
left.
Yeah, it's going to be like 50,000 people in there. It's going to be real laid back. But as far as the Saints are concerned, and we know the Tulane running back, Tajay Spears, is coming back. Tennessee Titans, a guy who played with Tulane. And in some ways, I want to get your take on this, because as much as we give a hard time to Trevor Penning, which I think he's doing better from preseason game one to preseason game two, I hope he continues to get better today. I want to put the spotlight on this Kendra Miller deal, because as you watch us pass on Spears, we could have drafted Spears. He's done well with the Titans so far early in his career. I know they were worried about some injury, but I mean, we've gotten tenfold with the kid from TCU, Miller, and I want to get your take on that. As much heat as Penning gets, what's the deal with our running back, this Kendra Miller guy? What's the deal with this guy?
Yeah, there's been definitely, I think, plenty of Saints fans slash, you know, local folks that are upset the fact that they still passed on Spears to go with the Miller. But I don't really know if Tajay was a guy that really fit what the Saints were doing and were ever going to be someone that took him.
Well, I mean, people would seem to look at it and say, like, well, they clearly should have had a higher grade on Tajay and taken Tajay. And, you know, what I'll say is you scout these guys, and if you have a higher grade on somebody, that's who you draft. Right, like they're not setting a board and then at the last second being like, oh, well, we just want to make our fans mad, so we're not going to take the Tulane kid because he's a Tulane kid. I think they had a lower grade on him, and so they took the guy they had a higher grade on. Now, keep in mind that was a different offense. Who was to say whether this staff in here now would have had the same input on Tajay versus Kendra and how he fit in this offense? You know, I get a kick out of when people say, well, they didn't draft Tajay because because of injury concerns. And I'm like, yeah, but Kendra was literally hurt when they drafted him.
Exactly.
So clearly injury concerns weren't the main factor. It was fit.
And you go even this year with Kool-Aid was dealing with injury when they
drafted
him.
Right. They clearly don't have
a concern.
Just having an injury having injury history is not the deciding factor in a lot of these. But no, it's going to get frustrating. It's frustrating now, and it's only going to get more frustrating because, you know, I don't know if Tajay's going to play today, but, you know, we're going to continue to see him play well. You know, and he's a guy that can run the ball. He can catch the ball. He's, you know, electric when he gets the ball in his hands. And, you know, the funny thing is you look at it and you say, hey, I've seen the same flashes out of Kendra. Like, we've seen good performances out of Kendra. The issue is he can't get on the field.
No, I think there was obviously that excitement last year, too, because he did it in the finale against the Falcons. You're like, all right, we got a guy that can help us, you know, defeat the Dirty Birds in years going forward.
It would honestly be less frustrating if he didn't do that. Like, it's more frustrating that you saw it. You saw the flashes of it, and then now it's just disappeared, right? If we felt like, oh, he just doesn't have the juice at all, then we'd be like, okay, move on. We'll find something. Like, it's a bad pick, but we'll move on. You look at it, and it's the same thing with Peyton Turner. Like, when Peyton Turner's got on the field, he's been a good quality player, right? He's made an impact, but he just can't stay on the field. Hopefully that changes this year for Peyton. He's been dealing with a toe injury, which is a little concerning considering he missed last year with a toe injury, basically, the entire season. He played in week one and week 18. He bookended the season. But, you know, it's – and I asked Jeff Ireland about this in terms of, you know, Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport, right? Like, you look at this, and it's a situation where, okay, was the scouting – did the scouting lead you astray, or is there any way to really predict when a guy is going to deal with injuries? And he said, it's like, we don't know. Like, they feel like they still scouted the right players. They feel like you look at the metrics that they go for, you know, you look at the scouting points, the analysis points, and they were what they wanted. You just haven't been able to see whether that would have ever panned out with Peyton, honestly, for the most part with Marcus, and now with Kendra. So I don't even know if it's a situation where you look at it and you say, well, if they just adjust their scouting methods, they would have ended up with Tajay versus Kendra. Because I don't even know if those are wrong. It's just how it worked out. But I don't blame people for being frustrated about it, especially when you watch Tajay out there doing what we saw him capable of doing at Tulane in the NFL.
Folks, as we head to break, I want to remind you the New Orleans Saints partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. We'll be right back after this break on First Take, right here on WWL. Back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We are set up here at Gate B atrium level on floor 2 in the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up at 11 o'clock, where you can meet up with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm not even sure, Jeff, what time the gates open. Is it probably 11 o'clock here? To get into the Superdome, it's open 10 a.m.
I would guess it is 11.
I guess I should have this information as well.
You know, Bill, you know better than I do the people who are trying to get in the gate. I can't remember the last time I actually tried to get into a game like that. So that's not information I possess.
I want to give a shout-out to the Saints have left a spot in the press box where Ed Daniels, sports director for DSU, still
– Gino.
Gino, I'm sorry, still vacant after his passing. Some flowers are set up for Ed, and there will also be a moment of silence before today's game to honor him. I know a lot of tragedy has happened to the GSU family, too, as well. They had a sports director that ended up dying the next morning of Ed's funeral in a traffic accident, which was absolutely horrifying for them.
It's a brutal month for them, and just, you know, thoughts and prayers with them and all those people dealing with that. Yeah,
we're going to be back with more First Take after the break. Make sure you join us. It's brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Reward destination. Talk to you on the flip side of the top of the hour news right after this on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Want to give a shout out to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We heading out to Jimmy and Gretna, who I know is heading to the game today. What you got for us today, Jim?
Look, last year I came to some games and I had to get a hall pass for my wife. Well, today's her birthday. I'm taking her to the game. All right, last year, let me tell you something. I had to wake up at 4 a.m. just to get that hall pass to go to the game without her. Put that flashlight on top of the lawnmower, cut grass all morning in the dark, all right? Now, look, The commissioner's coming to the game today with me for her birthday. She's not a big Saints fan, but happy birthday, Leslie. We're going to the game. Look, there are $2 tickets, Steve and Jeff, okay? $2 tickets right now in the secondary market. If you want to bring your whole family, this is the game. Middle of the day. I'm just saying, tickets are dirt cheap, all right? Like $2.
Did you spend more than $2 on your tickets today? I hope so.
No, I actually did because it's her birthday, but I'm saying, you know, for the people who are having economic issues, you guys go check it out for yourself. You want to go? There's still a lot of tickets left.
Bring their friends.
Yeah, it's going to be like 50,000 people in there. It's going to be real laid back. But as far as the Saints are concerned, and we know the Tulane running back, Tajay Spears, is coming back. Tennessee Titans, a guy who played with Tulane. And in some ways, I want to get your take on this, because as much as we give a hard time to Trevor Penning, which I think he's doing better from preseason game one to preseason game two, I hope he continues to get better today. I want to put the spotlight on this Kendra Miller deal, because as you watch us pass on Spears, we could have drafted Spears. He's done well with the Titans so far early in his career. I know they were worried about some injury, but, I mean, we've gotten tenfold with the kid from TCU, Miller, and I want to get your take on that. As much heat as Penning gets, what's the deal with our running back, this Kendra Miller guy? What's the deal with this guy?
Yeah, there's been definitely, I think, plenty of Saints fans slash, you know, local folks that are upset the fact that they still passed on Spears to go with the Miller. But I don't really know if Tajay was a guy that really fit what the Saints were doing and were ever going to be someone that took him.
Well, I mean, people would seem to look at it and say, like, well, they clearly should have had a higher grade on Tajay and taken Tajay. And, you know, what I'll say is you scout these guys, and if you have a higher grade on somebody, that's who you draft. Right, like they're not setting a board and then at the last second being like, oh, well, we just want to make our fans mad, so we're not going to take the Tulane kid because he's a Tulane kid. I think they had a lower grade on him, and so they took the guy they had a higher grade on. Now, keep in mind that was a different offense. Who was to say whether this staff in here now would have had the same input on Tajay versus Kendra and how he fit in this offense? You know, I get a kick out of when people say, well, they didn't draft Tajay because of injury concerns. And I'm like, yeah, but Kendra was literally hurt when they drafted him.
Exactly.
So clearly injury concerns weren't the main factor. It was fit.
And you go even this year with Kool-Aid was dealing with an injury when they
right.
drafted
they
him.
Right. They clearly so don't have
not the concern.
Just having an injury is, or like having injury history is not the deciding factor in a lot of these. But no, it's going to get frustrating. It's frustrating now, and it's only going to get more frustrating because, you know, I don't know if Tajay's going to play today, but, you know, we're going to continue to see him play well. You know, and he's a guy that can run the ball. He can catch the ball. He's, you know, electric when he gets the ball in his hands. And, you know, the funny thing is you look at it and you say, hey, I've seen the same flashes out of Kendra. Like, we've seen good performances out of Kendra. The issue is he can't get on the field.
No, I think there was obviously that excitement last year, too, because he did it in the finale against the Falcons. You're like, all right, we got a guy that can help us, you know, defeat the Dirty Birds in years going forward.
It would honestly be less frustrating if he didn't do that. Like, it's more frustrating
that you saw it.
That you saw it. You saw the flashes of it, and then now it's just disappeared, right? If we felt like, oh, he just doesn't have the juice at all, then we're like, okay, move on. We'll find something. Like, it's a bad pick, but we'll move on. You look at it, and it's same thing with Peyton Turner. Like, when Peyton Turner's got on the field, he's been a good quality player, right? He's made an impact, but he just can't stay on the field. Hopefully that changes this year for Peyton. He's been dealing with a toe injury, which is a little concerning considering he missed last year with a toe injury, basically, the entire season. He played in week one and week 18. He bookended the season. But, you know, it's – and I asked Jeff Ireland about this in terms of, you know, Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport, right? Like, you look at this, and it's a situation where, okay, was the scouting – did the scouting lead you astray, or is there any way to really predict when a guy is going to deal with injuries? And he said, it's like, we don't know. Like, they feel like they still scouted the right players. They feel like you look at the metrics that they go for, you know, you look at the scouting points, the analysis points, and they were what they wanted. You just haven't been able to see whether that would have ever panned out with Peyton, honestly, for the most part with Marcus, and now with Kendra. So I don't even know if it's a situation where you look at it and you say, well, if they just adjust their scouting methods, they would have ended up with Tajay versus Kendra. Because I don't even know if those are wrong. It's just how it worked out. But I don't blame people for being frustrated about it, especially when you watch Tajay out there doing what we saw him capable of doing at Tulane in the NFL.
Folks, as we head to break, I want to remind you the New Orleans Saints partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. We'll be right back after this break on First Take, right here on WWL. Back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We are set up here at Gate B atrium level on floor 2. In the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 11 o'clock where you can meet up with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm not even sure, Jeff, what time the gates open. Is it probably 11 o'clock here to get into the Superdome? It's open 10 a.m.
I would guess it is 11.
I guess I should have this information as well.
You know, Bill, you know better than I do the people who are trying to get in the gate. I can't remember the last time I actually tried to get into a game like that. So that's not information I possess.
I want to give a shout-out to the Saints have left a spot in the press box where Ed Daniels, sports director for DSU, still
– Gino.
Gino, still vacant after his passing. Some flowers are set up for Ed, and there will also be a moment of silence before today's game to honor him. I know a lot of tragedy has happened to the GSU family, too, as well. They had a sports director that ended up dying the next morning of Ed's funeral in a traffic accident, which was absolutely horrifying for them.
It's a brutal month for them, and just, you know, thoughts and prayers with them and all those people dealing with that, yeah.
We're going to be back with more First Take after the break. Make sure you join us. It's brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Reward destination. Talk to you on the flip side of the top of the hour news right after this on WWL. Back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We are set up here at Gate B atrium level on floor 2 in the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 11 o'clock where you can meet up with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm not even sure, Jeff, what time the gates open. Is it probably 11 o'clock here to get into the Superdome? Unless it's open 10 a.m.
I would guess it is 11.
I guess I should have this information as well.
You know, Bill, you know better than I do the people who are trying to get in the gate. I can't remember the last time I actually tried to get into a game like that. So that's not information I possess.
I want to give a shout-out to the Saints have left a spot in the press box where Ed Daniels, sports director for DSU, still
– Gino.
Gino, still vacant after his passing. Some flowers are set up for Ed, and there will also be a moment of silence before today's game to honor him. I know a lot of tragedy has happened to the GSU family, too, as well. They had a sports director that ended up dying the next morning of Ed's funeral in a traffic accident, which was absolutely horrifying for them.
It's a brutal month for them, and just, you know, thoughts and prayers with them and all those people dealing with that, yeah.
We're going to be back with more First Take after the break. Make sure you join us. It's brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Reward destination. Talk to you on the flip side of the top of the hour news right after this on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.